Lord God, Heavenly Father, may you use this time, Lord, as a time to teach. May we reflect on your words and your meanings. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. From Luke chapter 10, starting verse 1 and looking all the way to verse 20, we're going to key on a couple of verses this morning. If you would, find your pew in your bulletin. We're going to be starting here, Luke 10, verse 1, if you would read this with me. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. All right, so this is the sending out of the 72. This is a correlation with the Old Testament. There's 72 in the Old Testament, 72 corresponding in the New Testament. You see this matching up of numbers, 12 and 12, 72 and 72, 3 and 3. You find numbers all over the place. But this is the Lord going out into all of Israel doing ministry, and he's sending out these 72 men. And he's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to go and preach and tell the good news that I am here, the Messiah. If you would, think about it this way. The 72 would act as the modern-day billboard. All right. Now, if you're under 40, that means this is the modern-day Facebook. I realize I looked at that example when I first started preaching, and billboards don't apply to people under 40. You just don't see it because you're looking down here even when you're driving, right? That's a small problem. And so the question I have in looking at this text, because this whole thing is full of questions I have for you here this morning. Does God know who will reject him? All right? I've met some pastors in some other denominations who say no. Some say yes. Some say that no matter what, people will reject Jesus their whole entire life. Understandable. So does God know when Jesus sends out the 72, does he know what town will reject him? Yes. Does Jesus say, guys, just don't go in these towns? Does Jesus send out the 72 and tell them not to go into certain towns? Is that a clue for us today? And what kind of God we have that he doesn't say, avoid this person, avoid these kind of people. No, he sends out the 72. He sends out the 72 and says, go, proclaim the word of the Lord. Look at 10 to 11, if you would read these with me. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet will wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. There is, in my mind, profound, amazing truth and love found in. You see the love found here? You see the love of God found here? Why did Jesus include a rejection? If he was only sending them out to the people he knew would accept him, why did he include a rejection? Because he knew that people would reject him. He knew that. But take a look and see something different. Does God hinder the gospel going to people who would be too stubborn to accept him? What does that say about God when he does not give up on stubborn people? When God does not, till you find a breath, he keeps on chasing you. He keeps on chasing you. Even though you want to run, he keeps on chasing. That right there is what kind of a God we have. And so taking a look at this, does God give up on people who want to run from him? What an amazing thing here. Keep in mind all of this. People will like to look and see, okay, what are the effects of what God has to say without looking at, does God give up? Does God say, you know what, I know you, I created you. You've been stubborn since the very second you didn't listen to your mom, didn't listen to your father, you won't. God's not like that. God's not like you think about all the people, especially during the teen years, in which you wanted to totally run from God and do your own thing. And then you get into your 20s, and in your 20s, you're deciding for yourself where you want to go. And how many times, I'll say this for my own, how many times when you were younger did you key in on, I wonder what God would like me to do for the rest of my life? That was something I look back and say, I wish I could do that over and say, I knew God's hand. I knew what God wanted for me, but I did not want to do it. I made every choice to get away from that. And so this morning, let's look at from Luke chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. Here's where we get to some interesting theology, and we have to kind of dig just a little bit, and we're talking about the idea of Tyre and Sidon. Old Testament, Tyre and Sidon were from a different country altogether. In the time of Solomon, this area provided some much-needed, let's just say, trees. I believe cedar for the temple, but at the same time, there were people that didn't like the people of Israel. They could be considered those outside the church, outside Israel. So even in the time of Jesus, they were not going to be a people who looked at Jesus as, we need this guy. And then we contrast that with this question. Will God force anyone to live with him in heaven if they wanted to live with him without him on earth? People say, I don't need Jesus in this lifetime. I don't want Jesus in this life. I don't want Jesus anywhere near. He's going to change my life. I like my life the way it is. So the question in outside faith, is God the kind of God who forces you? If you don't want him in this lifetime, does God force people to say, you know what, you have to live with me? And so that is something that to take a look at. Capernaum. Capernaum was a city on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So on the one hand, you have Tyre and Sidon, which are on the Mediterranean Sea. You can kind of think of, okay, those are the Texas people, right? They're on the coast. You know, beautiful coast, beautiful sand shore. Capernaum, it's one of those Minnesota lake towns. Okay? Still beautiful, but different. Capernaum is still in the heart and soul of the area of Israel. And so Jesus landed there one time, and he met a couple people that were strictly, they were not believers, and yet at the same time, he did a lot of miracles. Did a lot of miracles in Capernaum. And at the same time, not a lot of the Jews in the town turned to faith. And so we would say that can sometimes be looked at as inside the church. As inside the church. If you look at the church and say, we have a faith in God, but at the same time, where does it go from there? If our faith is in God, where does that faith lead us? And so this morning, I just wanted to take a look at this notion that Capernaum is knowing God, yet rejecting him. Knowing God. Is the scripture open? In our families, is this dead weight? Is this a bookend? Can I go and if I did a home visit, Would you hand me a Bible that has tethered areas? Some people like to write in this book. Is it a book that's open many times? Or is it in mint condition? There's all different ways to look at the scriptures, but at the same time, where is God's word in our life? Is it something that is used for direction? Where we say, Lord, where do you want us to go? And just open up and say, okay, I'm going to read from here. Is it something where we say, I'm going to go through the book of John during the summer, and I'm going to read through the book of John? Or Lord, I'm going to look up this word, and I need you, because right now I am really being hard-pressed. There's a lot of pressure. There's that guy at the workplace. I don't know what to do with him. Or the lady that won't be nice to you. And Lord, what do you want me to learn from your word this morning? And so will we say that we have a belief in God, but are we following what the word says? And so this morning, we take a look and see. I got a question for you. You know when pastors get together and they talk theology and we get way too deep? You ever around a group of pastors who just sit around and talk and you really get deep and deep and deep and deep? The question that one pastor raised, if God runs after people who don't believe, and they take their dying breath without the knowledge of Jesus, or by rejecting him, saying, I don't want to live with Jesus, I don't want him anywhere near my life, does God grieve that person? Does God grieve anyone who rejects him? And so we kind of said, okay, as pastors, yeah. God wants everyone, and I mean everyone, to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Scripture plainly says that. God doesn't say, hey, I want you to be born so that you can live apart from me when you die. And so we said, okay, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. And then I had to open my mouth. And I said, well, what's worse, that or the people on Sunday morning who say they believe in God but live like he doesn't exist? The people on Sunday morning who are in church and live like he doesn't exist. And so this morning, I hope you can point to with me and say, okay, why does Redeemer exist? Why did you build this congregation? Why were these walls constructed? Why? Kind of think to yourself, why was this building so that you could be safe? Are the pews comfortable enough? Is it the right temperature in here? Or do I need to crank down the AC? Am I loud enough? Do I need to get louder so that people will listen? Do we need to add more lighting? Because the words on the screen aren't visible enough. Is 9 o'clock worship getting to you yet? Do we need to go back to 8 o'clock worship? Does it bug you that 10:30 worship doesn't exist right now? And yeah, that is a small problem. That is a small problem. It doesn't fit with everyone's schedule. But at the same time, as a church body going forward, is that the biggest concern? The temperature, the lighting, the time? Or can we say, go disciple all nations is why we exist? The problem being is that we know, we can see, we can read. The problem being is that, is it something that we say, this is why we exist? This is why we're here, to take the words from here and to go out from here. So number one, some of you are going to go out to eat today. And taking these thoughts as you go out, whether you're cooking at home or whether you're going out to eat with someone waiting on you, that's going to be the most awesome. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to ask this person, ma'am or sir, did you get served by Lutherans this morning? How would I know? Did they act like they knew the love of Christ? Did you come away with that experience saying, I wish I knew what they knew? Or something in their life is so amazing, I need to ask them the next time they come in. Did you tip? Did you tip like God was gracious to you so that they could earn a living? Also, this morning, some of you will be going to the grocery store, and some of you will be checked out by someone who wasn't able to attend worship this morning. Will they know God's blessing on their life this morning because of the way in which we checked out? Doesn't matter how you leave this place, it matters to them that they know the love of Christ, because God has not given up on them. He still runs. He's still Tyre and Sidon, the words of Capernaum. He still races after those who do not know them. His words are still our words. He still goes after them, and he still does it by our actions, our words. We are just instruments with front row seats. And also this morning, what's the rest of your day going to be like? What's the rest of the day? This week we get to go to Minneapolis and spend time with 22,000 other young people. Is that courageous? Have you spent time with teenagers nowadays? 22,000 teenagers always looking at their phones, never looking up. A world of teenagers in which they don't believe that anyone is listening to them. A world in which they will get more information from the palm of their hand than from the Word of God. A world in which they will reject the world of Christianity simply because they don't see the love inside the church walls. Or is that something to say, okay, we've got a job to do? And so in order for us to do that, we got to connect on certain levels. And sometimes that means that for our young people, we need to get uncomfortable with them. Because young people love it when you're uncomfortable with them. They love it when they invest. The problem is they won't show it. And sometimes we do the same. We want someone to connect with us. The problem is sometimes we put our hand out and say, excuse me, I just want to be alone right now. When honestly, we want someone to connect with us. And that's the Lord Jesus speaking into our hearts, trying to get us to see that he is running after us, even when we put our hand out. The Lord is still running after us, even as stubborn Lutherans. As stubborn Lutherans, the Lord wants to communicate by his word, to open it up and say, Lord, where do you want me to go today? Because I've been running away, and Lord God, I want to see thousands of years of history of you going after people in here, even though they've turned away. Lord God, I see the same God in this that I see now in my life. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day, help us see that this is not a time to take the summer off. But instead, Lord, this is a time in which to focus on your word. To get ready for the future. Whether the future means right after the service or whether it means the life we will be leading in other places in the fall. Lord God, help us see that, Lord God, you still run after us in the church and outside the church. You are still running after us because you love. You choose to show love first. Help us show that in a world that does not know you. Help us to see that, Lord God, we are your instruments to a world who doesn't understand what loving means. Be with us, Lord, as Lord God, we carry your words away from us. Help us be bold to bring out your word in our lives. Lord God, we need to read more, to invest more, and to live that out in the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.